Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the fourth episode of FS Talks, the podcast that brings you the latest news and chats with industry leaders every week on Friday mornings. Today's podcast is hosted by myself, Phil Creed. I'm co-founder and director of FSCom, which is a boutique regulatory advisory firm to the financial services industry. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Julian Sawyer, who is European Managing Director of cryptocurrency firm Gemini. And today we are talking about an area which is pretty close to my heart. We're talking all things cryptocurrency. Good morning, Julian. How are you?
Good morning. Yes, I'm very well, thank you.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Listen, again, thanks for joining me today. It'd be great, Julian, for people who don't know you, if you could introduce like your background in a little bit of detail. I know you've worked in fintech a long time, and also the company, Gemini.
Sure. Well, I guess a lot of people may have come across me. I was one of the co-founders at Starling Bank and chief operating officer. And I was there for 4.5 years, left last summer. And then was approached by Gemini, which is the cryptocurrency exchange in New York, to be the MD for Europe. And that's kind of a really exciting job, having been heavily involved in the creation of Starling Bank, to actually do something very similar, but in a slightly different sector. So my role is to bring Gemini into Europe and to create the London and the European office.
Brilliant, brilliant. And for those people who don't know Gemini or don't know what Gemini do, could you give us your elevator pitch? What is, sum up Gemini in a couple of minutes?
2 minutes, right? And the clock has started.
No.
Gemini was formed in 2014 by Cameron and Tyler Winklevoss, who obviously are great pioneers within the Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency world. And one of the things they realized was there were not the exchanges out there that put regulation first, that put compliance first, that put security first. And if you're going to have cryptocurrencies as a serious financial product, then you're going to have to go through a regulatory approach. And so they started Gemini. They have always done things, the hard way. So they went into New York, which has got the most robust environment in the US from a regulatory perspective, and became a trust company, which is, for those in Europe, is slightly less than a bank. So if you think of payments institutions, e-money and bank, trust is pretty close to a bank. You just can't lend, but everything else is there. So someone like a State Street is a trust company. So really, really high regulatory position, put security right into the heart of the product, and everything that we do has got security embedded within that. And then really looking at two markets. And the first market they focused on was the institutional market, on the basis that if you get the institutional right, then you can go into consumer. It's really hard to go the other way. And then we've been working on that for the last sort of 4 or 5 years. And then last year they had two strategies. One was go mobile and to go out into the consumer space with a mobile offering, and then also to go global, which with the first office is what we're doing in Europe.
Brilliant. And what attracted you to cryptocurrency in particular, and Gemini? And you obviously come from the chief operating officer role and co-founder role at Starling. Is there learnings from Starling and the growth that they've had? I don't know how many they employ now, but you know, it's a lot. That you're going to try and bring in to your role at Gemini?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably two or three things that really attracted me to this role. I mean, first of all, I think you've got to look at the founders, the management team, the philosophy, and those are all things that aligned with me personally and professionally, and very, very bright people doing some great stuff. So for me, that collegiate management team was super important. When I was looking around last year, I'll be honest, I wasn't particularly thinking crypto is the answer. But the more I got into the thought process, what I realized was that we're at that point of that perfect storm where you have got consumers that are starting to get more and more engaged in this asset class. You have got regulators who are talking about it almost constantly. And whether that is central bank digital currencies, or how do you regulate cryptocurrencies, or 5MLD, or whatever, they're having the right conversations. And the third part, which is probably equally interesting, if not more so, is that the institutions are doing things with cryptocurrencies. And what do I mean by that? Yes, they've been looking at Bitcoin and they've been looking at blockchain for the last, say, 5 years or so. They've had these projects within their innovation labs. They've had things in the tech functions. But now what we're seeing, and particularly at the beginning of this year, obviously things have slowed down, but particularly at the beginning of this year, we started to see institutions starting to go, how do I make money? Is this a P&L opportunity? And you're getting business managers, not risk managers or IT managers, going, this is interesting. And so what you've got is a perfect storm of consumers getting more accepting of the subject. You've got the regulators supporting various different initiatives, and you've got institutions. And that becomes a really interesting play in terms of what the market is going to do and the market needs. And I fundamentally believe the market needs a regulated exchange, and exchanges that have got compliance and security right in the center of what they're doing.
Yeah. I've worked in cryptocurrency quite a long time. I still remember meeting the co-founder of Bitstamp probably in 2011, and I've got $100 of Bitcoin sitting somewhere that I don't know where it is, and it's probably worth a lot more, which it was bought in 2011. But the thing that resonated for me from what you were just talking about is the amount and the intelligence of the people working in this sector now, and you and Blair, you at Gemini are testament to that. Because of that, it's almost you cannot see it failing. You know, I come across a number of different people in different sectors, and they are coming from mainstream traditional backgrounds and have chosen to go to crypto because they see the opportunity. So I can totally see where you're coming from in that perspective. In terms of like growth for crypto, where do you think this is going to go, and what are the big opportunities as you and as Gemini see it?
If I can just probably just comment back on your previous observation, which I think is really sound. I think as you're getting more non-crypto people in the crypto world, you are legitimizing that sector more and more. You're providing insight and perspectives from the world of fintech, from banking, from payments, wherever, into that crypto. And I think that is really important. And I think if you go back to your question, it's kind of aligned, where at the moment crypto has been really focused, or has been engaged with the innovators, the early adopters, people who are interested in new technology, just the same as you were in 2011. You put 100 euros in and you were excited up to a point, but you haven't engaged. What we're seeing now is more and more people engaged. And if you look at the fintech world, particularly in Europe, and you look at the crypto world, there is a huge overlap here. And these are people that have got a Starling account or a Revolut account. These are people who are happy with financial technology and using technology to help them manage their money better, whether that is for trading or for investment purposes, or even just for making payments through a stablecoin type model. So I think what we're seeing is that transition from this being in the crypto bubble to what I'm thinking of this being in the fintech bubble. And so there's all those people, and we all know in the UK, we're talking millions of customers who have got a fintech product and are engaged with that customer experience, their expectations, etc. And that is where the growth opportunity for crypto from a consumer side comes in. Now, what's interesting on the institutional side is some of those consumers are going to go to their institutions, whatever, however you want to define that, and ask for, where can I deposit? Where can I trade? How can I do that? And we did a partnership with State Street, which we announced the end of last year. And that was a process where they wanted to understand how they could engage in the crypto world, went out into the market over sort of an 18-month period, and then selected Gemini. And that's a journey that they are taking their customers on, because their customers are asking about, how do I engage, how do I use, how do I trade, how do I invest in this asset class? So I think there is a real big opportunity to, as professionals are moving from banking and payments and fintech into crypto, but also for the crypto product to get out into that mainstream. And so I think this is part of the conversations, which is why it's great to be here today, in terms of talking about FS, rather than just being sitting in the crypto bubble and talking among ourselves.
Yeah, so it's more like what you're saying is people who are traditional are now searching out crypto, and in a way what you're saying is we're no longer going to call crypto, it's just going to be an element of financial services.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it should be considered just another asset class. And then I think what is interesting is I've been on a few panels where people have talked about, well, crypto is going to take over the world. And yes, we all hope that it does. But what is going to happen in reality is the pie chart of how to make payments, or the pie chart of investment, will have a new wedge. That wedge will be crypto or Bitcoin or blockchain or however you want to define that. And that's going to increase. Are we going to take away Visa, MasterCard? No. Are we going to change how peer-to-peer payments are going to make? Yes, to a certain degree. But even when we've looked at some of the more successful fintechs like a TransferWise or a Revolut, and who are very FX focused, they've got incredibly small single digit market share, but they're still very successful. So what I think we'll see is in the pie chart of payments and the pie chart of investment, that this will become more and more significant, but it isn't going to sit there and take over some of the established payment mechanisms or investment asset classes.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. It's never going to replace GBP or dollar, you know, but it could be, you know, an asset class like gold or silver or whatever. Yep. What do you think is the main inhibitor for this, for cryptocurrency becoming mainstream? Is it regulation?
I think regulation has a major play, particularly on the institutional side. If the regulator's not on board, then the institutions won't go near it. And we are very fortunate in the UK and Europe and the US that the regulators absolutely are engaged and engaging in that. So that's important. One of the things that I'm very passionate about is how we talk to consumers. And I think we've got to get away from a lot of the technicalities of crypto. Do I, as a consumer, really care about hash rates? Do I really care about halving? Do I really care about this technology or that technology? And across other parts of financial services, there's a huge amount of detailed technology that is sitting there. That you as a consumer don't care how your Visa or MasterCard works. You just know it does work and everybody is happy. Yeah. You don't need to know the ins and outs of everything behind that. You don't need to know how the constraints and in your area, how AML or KYC happens as a consumer. You know I have to give you some information and you will assess me and you will make a decision, etc. You go to the average consumer and you talk about sanction checking and they will just go, I don't understand what you're talking about.
Clue, yeah.
As an industry, as a crypto industry, we have spent too much time talking about the technology and not about the customer. and the customer experience and the customer journey. And so what is, I think, part of what I want to do in Gemini is to change and develop the conversation to make it more engaging, to make it more accessible to people. And I always remember, and I can't remember which book said this, but whichever one was brilliant, you know, when Dell launches a new laptop, they will talk you about what the Intel i7 processor at X number of gigahertz and what the speed of the, you know, and what does Apple do? It just says you can play music and do great things with photos. We need to be in Apple mode of talking about what this thing does, not how it does it. And I think that is really important in terms of our conversation to get out to that next group of people that are, I don't really care a lot about the technology. What I care about is this is kind of an interesting, this is a cool piece of.
Does it work?
Does it
work? Can I send X to Y, or can I, you know, what return am I getting or whatever?
Correct.
No, I honestly, I think it's fascinating because it's almost the way you're talking about it is showing how the market's maturing. If I go back to, again, crypto's kind of a purist thing at still, you know, and what you're saying is we need to get away from the purist things. If you look at quite a lot of the most successful sort of crypto things, you know, Poloniex was built by two technology heavy guys, you know, in their basement, or, you know, because, and it was built for the purists. But that feels like we're kind of getting over that curve of where something like that could be successful, you know, and it is more about regulation and stability and just things working, which is fantastic. For Gemini, like obviously the Fifth Money London Directive came in January, and you know I'm delighted that I haven't had to say this word for a long time, but Brexit's obviously happening towards the end of the year. What are your thoughts on regulation for Gemini in Europe, and do you have a particular strategy over what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, we've applied and we've publicly talked about this, that we've applied for an e-money with the FCA. We welcome 5MLD. We see interesting that, you know, some exchanges decided not to continue or change or pivot their business model. We see as regulation continues, we see there's going to be a more maturity model here where some people will exit the market. Some people will not continue doing the same services and products. One of the things that is interesting is as this continues, there needs to be more market information about who are the really good exchanges and who is perhaps not so good. And what does good mean? And, you know, regulation, compliance, quality of the team, etc. That is really important. If you look at something like one of the market information companies like Crypto Compare, they've allocated ratings to exchanges. What is interesting is if you're a AA exchange or an A exchange, so if you put all the A's and the AA's together, they only have 1/3 of the total market, which means that 2/3 of consumers are actually going to a suboptimal exchange. Mm-hmm. Now, what does suboptimal mean? You know, there's a whole range of different criteria, but we as an industry need to start educating people, both institutions and consumers, that actually you should be looking at an A or a AA. And that makes a difference. Just the same as if you are going to put your savings into a company in the UK, you would always look for a company that has got the financial services compensation scheme. So, you know, £85,000, €100,000 are protected. We've all been trained to do that. We need to start training people about what this means in the world of crypto, because that's a huge opportunity. So we need to communicate about that safety and security that is there. And inform people about why they shouldn't be putting their money in exchanges that are not as robust.
Yeah. And do you think there's anything, sorry to harp back to regulation all the time, but do you think there's anything like that regulators should be doing, both like in the UK, Europe, and probably worldwide? The thing that gets me with crypto and the globalization of the world is it is truly a global product. So it feels like it should have global regulations. Now that's obviously a very, very challenging thing to do. But do you think that there is more that can be done from regulators to assist with that?
I think global regs would be a brilliant, but probably an impossible dream, unless of course you're a consultancy in that space, which is always something to go on. But I think I think there's probably two areas that are challenging. One that is not a crypto issue, but is a wider issue, which is AML and KYC, and the process of consistently and reliably doing that is a burden to open new accounts and process, etc. So I think that is always a challenge. I'm not saying we shouldn't have it by any stretch. It is just that everybody's going through exactly the same process. How can you share those tokens and identities and things like that? I think the other bit, particularly when you look at Europe, is how do we get consistency in crypto? So in terms of definitions, in terms of rule books, in terms of appetite, in terms of reporting. And I think we've got to play a role within Europe in terms of helping to guide and navigate that conversation. I think that's super important. I think also that the regulators have got to see that if you've got different countries at different positions, then that is going to hurt the adoption rates, but also ensuring that we have consistency. So, a very simple example is, 5MLD has been implemented in the UK, hasn't been implemented yet in Ireland. So we now have a disconnect between two, very closely aligned financial services markets that are now slightly different in how they've interpreted a particular part of regulation. So I think, and we can talk about Germany doing this slightly different. It's more around the consistency. That will happen. We'd like it to happen quicker, but that will happen. And we feel regulation is good. It is good for consumers. It's good for institutions. And we need to help on that journey.
I absolutely agree. It's almost like you can have regulatory arbitrage in crypto because everyone's trying to play catch up, which is difficult for a firm that's trying to do things correctly. Final question for me, Julian, perhaps you could just align a little bit more on what the future lies for Gemini. What are the sort of the short, medium, long term goals for Gemini in Europe and actually the US as well?
Yeah, I think in my mind there are three big opportunities. We talked about the first one being consumers and getting into a larger market. And I think for me, we need to establish the brand. We need to talk about what our brand stands for. Hopefully today you've got to show to our prospects that this is the right product for you to buy and own and store crypto. So that is one market. The other market is on the institutional side. We've made great progress in New York. We will be growing our team in Europe in terms of on our in institutional sales side. So that is really exciting. And I think we will obviously be seeing more and more coming to fruition in terms of that. So two very, very big areas. The third area, which is probably the one in the middle of that, is I think there's a really interesting opportunity for where you can partner with, particularly the fintechs, and knowing my background, you won't be surprised at this, where they have got distribution, they are, all of them are looking for areas of revenue share. and therefore profitability, and particularly in today's climate, that is super important for investors. And I think there is a really interesting play, which is we are an infrastructure play. We are this piece of infrastructure which helps you buy and sell and obviously store crypto. We can do that for you if you've got customers that want that. And that conversation, so far, obviously we're not live yet in the UK, has been really well received by people going, this is interesting. I will have customers. This isn't the customer base. I am getting asked for this. How do I provide this service to our customers? So I think there is something that is really interesting. So, I mean, putting all that together, we need to leverage our 280 colleagues in New York, Chicago, and Portland. We need to establish the brand in Europe, what it stands for. And we then need to, you know, go and acquire customers, but the right type of customers, the ones where this is the right product for them, is really, really important.
I think, you know, our audience will agree. It's a fascinating sort of stage that you guys are at, and also, you know, crypto is fascinating, constantly developing area of financial services. And again, I'll go back to it and go, from my experience, there's so many intelligent people, and you, Julian, just validate that, now working in crypto, that it's, you know, the question whether it's here to stay is answered. It is. It's in what guise and in what way is it going to affect our financial lives? Julian, thank you very much for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure.
So you now need to go and find that £100 of Bitcoin.
It's somewhere. You know, it comes up in my head every now and again. I'm like, that's probably worth $20,000 or something now. You know, I don't know what it's worth.
Going to tie on.
I should like. Listen, on next week's show, we're going to be joined by Mark Dowd. Mark is Managing Director of Anthemis, which is a big VC firm. And we've also got another episode with Charlie Dillingpole. Charlie is founder of one of the biggest sort of new reg techs out there, Comply Advantage. So thanks for watching, everyone, and see you next week.